You are listening to the Kingdom Living Podcast, where we talk about faith, purpose, and societal issues from a kingdom perspective. Are you joining us for the first time? We're glad you're with us. And if you have been with us for a while now, we thank you for being a part of us. It's amazing how time flies. This is the third episode of the Chosen Gen series, and it feels like we started just yesterday. We have had inspiring discussions with guest speakers who have helped us to understand how they seek to reconcile mankind to God through their various platforms and gifts based on 2 Corinthians 5:18, which says that all things are of God who has reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. So you see, the ministry of reconciliation is one to which we all have been called as followers of Christ. We are very honored to have Dina with us today. She is extremely inspiring, a great encourager, and a lover of God. Last year, she authored her first Christian book called Become the Person You Desire, the Person God Desires, which, by the way, has helped me a lot in my journey to desire to become who God says I am. I will quickly allow Dina to say more about herself. Hi, Dina. Welcome.
Hi, thank you for having me. Oh my goodness, I'm so honored to be here. As she said, my name is Gina Pagan, and her and I met through social media. So in social media, you can actually do good. And so first and foremost, besides being a writer and a Christian, you know, I am a child of God.
Amen.
I am his beloved, and my identity now is just solely in him. Mm-hmm. I am a princess. I am healed. I am freed. Mm-hmm. I have the Holy Spirit in me. And that's what I like to say I am, because I want to honor God with who I am. I am also been married for almost 33 years. I have 4 daughters, 4 granddaughters. But my identity is solely in God. And every day, that's all I desire to do, is to grow deeper in God. And I'm just so honored to be here on your podcast. So thank you for having me.
Thank you. Thank you for accepting our invitation. And indeed, thank you so much for helping us understand who you are in God. And it really shows that you know who you are. Your identity is grounded in him. Has this always been so? When did you accept Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, and how?
So, yeah, basically, I grew up my whole life loving God. Even from a small child, I always went to church my whole entire life. And so he has always known me. Mm. I have always known him as God, but I never really had that head knowledge.
Mm.
I had a heart knowledge because I loved him, but I didn't have the head knowledge and the biblical knowledge. It wasn't until I was married and my husband, at the beginning of our marriage, was reading me the Bible. I used to ask, what does this mean? Mm. And I started to gain more head knowledge of who God truly is. And I think throughout the last 30 years, I've just been gaining more and more head knowledge and growing more and more in him. I think it's so important that, you know, we can all say we love God and know God, but to truly know God is to truly know his word. Hmm. And every day I'm growing, every day I'm drawing closer to him. I was steadily, slowly growing with him all my life. Hmm. I never had that immediate Jesus, I all of a sudden know Jesus. Hmm. I just always know him, and he's always known me. And he's been gentle in guiding me on that path to draw closer to him, and that's what it's all about. It's about knowing him so intimately that no matter what you have gone through in your life, you know God is there for you, and you know that you know his grace, and you're not taking advantage of his grace because you love him so much that you want to live your whole entire life for him. And that's where I'm at now, and I'm still growing. I will be forever growing, never perfected. I just do my best I can. So yeah, I never had that all of a sudden, bam, I know Jesus. He's just always been there in my life.
Amen. Wow. You know Jesus, and he's always been there in your life. And also you grew to know him, like know his grace, to know, to want to live your life for him. And you know, this us becoming a follower of Christ, as I've mentioned in the beginning, it belongs also the ministry of reconciliation. And I believe that this was not what you knew before getting married, right? Because you said it was in marriage that you recognized that there is something like head knowledge, and that you started understanding who God is in your head, and also the biblical, having a biblical understanding of it. So what do you understand by the ministry of reconciliation? What does it mean that we are reconciled to God? Did you have difficulties understanding this ministry?
All of our whole life, we are daily reconciling with people. Mm. We are daily, we get in arguments with people.
Yes.
We have people that hurt us. Sometimes we hurt people. And we're daily reconciling with people our entire life. Maybe not daily, but
yeah,
we're constantly reconciling with people. And we have to strive to earn our forgiveness at times with people, because maybe we've caused them harm. And so we have to show them that we are truly sorry, and
yes,
we strive to reconcile with people.
Mm.
Well, sometimes us as Christians,
yes,
we feel that way towards God.
Mm.
We feel that we have to strive,
yes,
to reconcile with God, that we have to do something to get back in right relationship with Him.
Mm.
I remember always knowing Him, but in my younger years,
yes,
you know, not so good years for me, I would do something wrong, and I would just beg God for His mercy, beg Him to forgive me. And
yeah,
I would try to make it up to God. Like,
yeah,
I would try to say, okay, I'm going to do this for you, God. I'm going to do that for you. And of course, you know, we fail.
Yeah.
But I try to, like, I have to pay Him back or something.
Mm.
And that's, I think, as humans, we take God at the man level. And
yes,
we try to pay God back like we would try to pay our fellow person back that we had hurt. And God's not like that. Basically, reconciliation with God is the act of restoring our relationship with Him after we have done some sin.
Mm.
But it's not something we have to do.
Mm.
It's something that Jesus did for us.
Amen.
He died on the cross. He shed His blood for us as the final sacrifice.
Mm.
Like in the Old Testament, they had to kill and they had to shed the blood of a blemish-free animal.
Mm.
Well, Jesus is our blemish-free being.
Amen.
And He died on the cross so that we don't have to strive.
Mm.
We don't have to earn His love and earn His forgiveness. All we have to do is truly, truly believe in Him.
Amen.
But that's another subject, because truly believing in Him, even the enemy, Satan, believes in Him.
Exactly.
So to believe in Him is more of, God judges our heart, so He can know if your heart truly loves Him and truly believes in Him and truly desires Him.
Mm.
We can't judge another's heart on that.
Yeah.
So that is something only God knows. So I think us as humans, we try, and maybe us as not as mature Christians, still growing.
Yes.
We try to earn God's love.
Mm.
Like we can earn it, but we can't. Because He already loves us. He loves us the way we are.
Yes.
But He also loves you too much to let you stay the way you are. And that's why becoming the person you desire is important.
Mm-hmm.
Becoming the person God desires. Because when you truly love somebody, you want to do good for them.
Yeah.
You don't want to sin against them.
Mm.
And like my life slowly changing,
yes,
slowly growing with God, I learn how to do that.
Mm. Amen. You just pointed at
earn God.
That's indeed, that's the truth. God came for us through Jesus Christ and died for our sins. And like, God sees our hearts, right? We may think that we love Him and He's the one that knows. As you said, Satan also believes in Jesus Christ. But it is the heart that we tell then in the end who truly believes. And it is also the heart that desires to do the will of God. And you just mentioned sort of the title of your book as well, which is trying to become the person God desires, right? And there is a statement you make in your book, which is, sometimes we think life is all about us. We want what we want, and at times we aren't thinking about other people. And this statement got me thinking about our subject, which is the reconciliation ministry. Many of us, we think so much about ourselves, actually, but even thinking about ourselves can be good, but desiring even much more to become who God says we are is more important. What would you say to the statement? Can you expand more on it?
As humans, we want what we want, and we want it now. Kind of
yes,
like that in that movie Charlie and the Chocolate Factory, the little girl wants what she wants, and she wants it now. Unfortunately, we are human, and that is kind of how we are. I think when you gain the heart knowledge and the head knowledge, then that begins to change.
Mm.
You begin to see life as not your own, but life as you're here for God.
Yes.
You're here to help Him. We're not made for ourselves. We're made for Him. And so that also makes you see other people in a different way.
Amen.
As in, you know what, God, how can you use me to help shine your light in this person's life? It's a goal that as many Christians we have to try to do that. Like I said, we're not perfect, fail many times doing it, but our life is not our own. We were Christ.
Amen.
And we need to stand out from the rest of this world, especially nowadays.
Yes.
We need to stand out and we need to shine the light for Him, not for ourselves, not for the glory, because I wrote a book with the glory of, I have an Instagram account for His, and we need to check our hearts sometimes on that to make sure we stay in line with that.
Awesome. You said it is about us shining our light on others and to help others. And did you have difficulties shining your light? We were discussing with a friend who also started a podcast, and she's talking about how we come out of our comfort zone, shining our light. It can be discomforting. Did you have difficulties? Did you face any challenge? Like,
oh my goodness, yes. I used to be so shy.
Okay.
And I'm not sure if I mentioned this in my book, but shy to me after church, I would probably walk away with like a little tear. I was so extremely shy. So it took a lot for me, lot of good. God healed me during this prayer thing. Women prayed over me and then I got healed of my shyness.
Yeah.
But it's something I still have to step out of my comfort zone.
Mm.
Right now, I'm a little bit out of my comfort zone. You know what? God wants us to step out of our comfort zone because He is growing us. We have to, I guess a good way to think about stepping out of our comfort zone is you're not doing this for yourself. When you put it as you're doing this for yourself, then you become more uncomfortable and you become, I can become more shy. But if I think about I'm doing this for my mighty Lord, my God who saved me, then man, all that shyness is gone because you know what? This is for God.
Mm-hmm.
This is not for Gina
at all.
And so that's how I think of it when I start to get not wanting to do things because maybe I'm scared, maybe I'm nervous, maybe I'm shy.
Yeah.
I think this is for the Lord.
Amen.
I am here on earth for His purpose.
Amen.
And so,
yes, sure. Thank you. And you also, when you started and God healed you for, you know, shyness, sometimes God uses our weakness in the end for strength because He wants to, you know, as you mentioned, glorify Himself through us and through our weaknesses. And I think it is even more glorifying to see someone that's shy before the camera talking about Jesus Christ. But then you see that God is glorified. So God really uses our weaknesses no matter what. And it's also a gift. Now alluding to your book, you talk about gifts, you talk about purpose. How did you discover that this was the thing you were supposed to do? And like writing a book?
Well, so my writing journey began and at a time where I was just healing from some past wounds. And, excuse me.
Sure.
And God wanted to heal me deeper.
And
I think the writing started as a way to heal myself. Not for me to heal myself, as a way to God heal me. So I would spend so much time with God. I live in the woods, so I would go out and I would just be in the meadow, in the woods, and meditate on Him and be in nature. And God really did a strong work in me from the inside out. And I feel like He wanted me to write about my healing, write about how we can let go of past wounds that have hurt us so that we can move on. Because throughout our life, we are constantly being hurt or hurting others.
Yes.
Constantly, unfortunately. And God wants us to be able to be healed from our past wounds. And I feel like the book not only healed me, but it can also, and it led me deeper in a relationship with Christ, that the book can also heal another person from their past wounds. And it can give them the desire in their heart to want to dive deeper into God's word, to want to become more like God and more like Jesus. And it was a whole healing for me. It took 5 years to write, a quick book, but, you know, I was excited when it was finished, but His work in me isn't finished, He's continuously working in me. Amen. So though the book is finished, I'm never finished until I meet him one day. Amen. So yes.
Talking about healing and how God used this book, like, it is a powerful one. And indeed, the content is really heavy as well. And looking at how God has worked in your life, I've been learning so much through this book. And you just realize that really God is working on us every single time and is, you know, molding us, shaping us to become that person that he desires us to become one day. It really takes surrendering, you know, unto God. And that is what happened then, literally, to you. You had to surrender in the end, to just allow God to take over and to heal you, to heal your marriage, and to bring you to that understanding of what it really means to be, you know, the godly wife. So I've been really blessed, and I feel like you have been assigned to a particular group of people. That's why, because I believe that we are not all assigned, you know, in the kingdom there are different things, like different people, and God is assigning us, calling us to different, you know, people with different characteristics and so on. And you have written this book. That's why I believe you have been assigned to a particular set of people. To whom do you feel assigned to, and to what extent does this group of people relate to your past, and how do you reach out and reconcile them to God, especially when they are not Christians, they don't believe in God? Yeah.
Yes, that can be difficult. I've been trying to think, and who do I feel assigned to besides my obvious family and my children, and I have grandchildren, of course, that they are my number one priority and assigned to them. Amen. I've always had a heart for mothers and a heart for wives, because I've seen so many women married that just give up. They just give up when it gets so hard. And I think that's the enemy's way, that to sneak in and whisper lies to your ears. Yes. Because we're all imperfect beings. We're all going to... Maybe there are some perfect marriages, but in marriage, it can be a struggle at times. Mm. We're all going to fail at times. Mm. And the world, which is run by Satan himself, forgiving, we're supposed to be married forever. It's like a covenant. And I want women to know that, hey, don't give up. Mm. Don't give up on your marriage when things get tough. Even men. Don't give up on your wives when things get tough, because you know what? This is just a season, and this too shall pass. You will grow closer to God through your healing, closer to your in your relationship and in your families, to continue to go. So marriage has been a big one for me, being a parent, obviously, because I'm a parent. I have family members who obviously don't believe in Christ as well.
Yes.
And so I also feel called to those who don't believe in Christ. Mm. I want them to know that, you know, God really loves you. He's not this man at the top just pointing his finger and condemning you for every single thing you do. Yes, we are responsible for what we do, absolutely. Yes. And God doesn't want us to sin. He can't be in the presence of sin because he is too powerful and holy.
Yes.
But God wants you to come to him as you are. Mm. You don't have to polish your package up to go to him. Mm. Just come to him, and he is there waiting for you with open arms.
Amen.
And I want everybody to know that. I want everybody to know. And you know what? You're going to start out small knowing him, and that's okay.
Amen.
It took me, I don't need to say my age, but 10 years to get to the point I am. And hopefully in 10 more years, I'm going to be at a different point.
Mm.
But I feel called, and that's why I started Instagram.
Yeah.
Only a few years ago, I started Instagram to shine God's light to those I can't reach, because I do live rural, so it is hard to reach people. I wanted to shine my light to those. And I want everybody to know that, hey, God loves you. He loves you just the way you are. Just come to him. He's waiting.
And then the last question to wrap up everything. This, you try to go out for Christ. You try to speak to people about Christ, and also to the people that you feel led to, right? Talk about the challenges you face while trying to reconcile people to God, and how does the Holy Spirit help and lead you? You also talk about the Holy Spirit in the book. Like in your book, you also mention how you listen to the Holy Spirit, especially, you know, taking a step back and just finding this time alone with God and with the Holy Spirit to hear from him. How does the Holy Spirit help you and lead you in this process?
First, the first question was what kind of struggles do I have with other people? It can be a struggle. I've actually had many times where unbelievers have I felt that they've attacked me verbally because of my belief. They, and I hate when that happens because it's like, oh, that breaks my heart because, you know, I'm just trying to share God's love. And so that's the hardest part is when somebody who doesn't believe in God wants to attack the God in you, that what you're trying to do for him. And that's just heartbreaking. And that's something I still struggle with. Like, how do I reach those who are sort of unreachable? I've come to the conclusion of I can't. God can't. So I can just love and shine my light, stand up for God. I still stand up for my beliefs wholeheartedly.
Yes.
And that's all I can do. And I can pray for them. But he has to do that work in them. He has to open their hearts. And so I don't get too offended anymore by it. I just pray for the person and pray that God will open their heart and he will change them as well. And this, the second question is the Holy Spirit. Do I have to step away to let God do it?
Yes.
And so him and no longer in myself.
Yes.
So it's actually so much easier to put your faith in him because he can do the impossible. We're doing that. I have to strive and work and memorize and do all these things. So by letting Gina go, letting myself go, I'm allowing the Holy Spirit to lead. And a lot of times we can hear that still small voice and question it. So they, and in a way we should question it because we want to make sure it's really the Holy Spirit speaking to us. But don't question it to the point where you're not going to follow the lead of the Holy Spirit. Don't question it to the point of, well, was that God or was that just my own mind kind of thing? Because God does, it lives in you. If you are a Christian and you have Jesus, the Holy Spirit is in you already. You don't have to ask him to come. He is there living in you. You just have to ask him to go before you and be there to guide your path. I love the Holy Spirit.
Awesome. Yes, the Holy Spirit is a great guide, really. Like without the Holy Spirit, we can do nothing. Indeed, it's the Holy Spirit that enables us to do all that God has called us to do, again, to become who God says we are. Now talking of the Holy Spirit, you know, there's one thing that has been promised to us is the manifestation of the fruits of the Spirit. And we know that in Galatians 5:23, that it is 22 and 23, better said, it's written that we have the fruit of the Spirit, which is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Now thinking about those fruits, which one of those fruits you feel has really been helping you thus far to do what God has called you to do?
Definitely love.
Love.
Learning just to love like him. Love people regardless. There are so many Bible verses about love.
Yeah.
Love can cover up a multitude of sin. I mean, the list goes on and on. I don't know how many times it says love in the Bible. I don't have that. It is so many times and really working on love because as humans, love doesn't come naturally. Love is a verb and we have to, it's not an emotion that we just feel lovey-dovey and all these sparkly in our groins and whatever it is. It is a choice. To love is a choice and to love is an action. So by you being kind to somebody, you're choosing to love them. You're choosing that as an action. So love to me is a verb. It's an action. Jesus died on the cross because he loves us. He did the action of love for us.
Amen. Thank you so much. That's great. And the Bible also offers us to understand that God is love. And if we do not love, it means we do not know God. Awesome. Thank you so much, Gina. We have been blessed. If you have any last words to share with our listeners, please feel free to share it now.
No, I just want everybody to know that, like I said earlier, God really loves you.
Amen.
Come to him with an open heart and he will accept you as you are.
Amen.
And I want to thank my host here and don't forget that she wrote a book. And this is actually perfect for the new Christian, the old Christian. But if you are a new Christian and you want to know God further, grab their book, Saved, What's Next. It will really give you that head knowledge that you need to grow with Christ. And thank you again for having me here today.
Thank you too. Thank you so much. Every information that will be in our description box about the book, Become the Person You Desire, the Person God Desires, will also be in our description box. And we encourage you to grab a copy. And this book will definitely bless you. Thank you so much, Gina, for taking the time. We really are honored and grateful May God bless you in Jesus' name.